For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, lovely day here. The rain coming down the mountain there, and you should see it. You should be here, actually. And those of you that are experiencing all that good snow and cuddle up there, enjoy it, because it's going to get hot. So anyway, we've got several things going to be talking about today, but I also invited, a while back, you may recall, if you long-time listener, I had Bobby Parks here, and he and Dwayne Ka'ali'i are going to actually be here and singing a couple of songs, that original songs that Bobby wrote. I just thought, you know, I'm always playing a little blues and singing the blues and talking the blues. I figured bring in some Hawaiian blues. But the first song that Bobby's going to play is Leilani. But anyway, we're going to talk about quite a few things. You know, the Carlton Ching. And give this some thought while we play some music and come back. But 524-1080 is the number, 524-1080, if you'd like to call in once we get going. And you can pick this up at carolcox.com, live on streaming. or KWAI 1080 AM and .com. You can go there and listen as always. Remember, the Carol Cox Show is podcast, and we hope to have everybody podcast here at KWAI soon. But Carlton Ching issue, remember that. We'll talk a bit about that, and a great many of us saw a display of the weak meeting the strong, and the strong being overwhelmed, I guess. But it was a sight for sore eyes, believe it or not. But again, I issue a bit of caution. This display that the governor gave us, it begs a lot. There is a lot of questions to be had. Why, when, and why was he so insistent? When one man makes a decision, and then there's hundreds, if not thousands, object, then you would think maybe there's more logic in the greater majority. But we're going to also talk about Bruce Culper a little bit and his involvement. Some of you may be aware of this already, but we talk about corruption here in Hawaii and business, and we talk about people getting special interests in government for sale. Bruce Culper, some of you may know and may have already read in earlier reports, that he is a lobbyist, and one of those is a lobbying for Monsanto. Now, imagine you trying to go in and get a meeting with the governor on Monsanto, and Bruce Culper is sitting there, and he has helped schedule them and what have you, and can connect you with the governor, and that meeting never happened. But just as early as January the 12th, I think, as I looked at some of the ethics report, he is signing up to be a lobbyist, and a lobbyist for Monsanto. And we're going to name that list of people, and also we'll show you that John Henry Felix and Mufi Hanneman's wife, Gail Mukata Hanneman, is on the board of one of those organizations that COPA is representing and lobbying for. So there's a lot to talk about, but right now we're going to listen to some music from Bobby Parks. Go, Bobby.
Your heart so sweetly, your smiling eyes is just for me, and you dance in the moonlight. Your Hawaiian style is my love. The sun has kissed you, brown, sweet, and true. Aloha surrounds me. Flowers bloom everywhere. Leilani, your beauty above all. Oh, 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 oh.
All right. Hey, that's Bobby Parks and Dwayne Ke'alii, the Royal Band, I
oh,
or the Royal Man on bass there. So, you know, I tried to coax you into, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Trying to pin you down and I want to come in here and talk about the African American experience and your background and being Hawaiian and your mom being Hawaiian and all, and that's a subject that I rarely hear anyone talk about on here, but we do exist and you do exist, and there's a great many of them out there. I'm simply amazed at the ability to people to blend in, and we've somehow, I don't find much writing on the African American experience and the black man fathering children here in Hawaii and being married or wedded. But I'm going to coax you into getting in here, and we're going to talk extensively about it one day.
Well, like my dad came in, and he was in the military, and he seen a hula girl,
mm-hmm.
and he attached to her somehow and got me mm-hmm. and my family. We had 11 children in my family. Altogether, we are out from the Waianae area,
mm-hmm.
born and raised Waianae, and there's nothing else but for me is the mountains there.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful,
right?
And that ocean, deep blue sea. So yeah, I'm from here, born and raised, Black Hawaiian,
mm-hmm.
or what they call Popolo.
Yeah,
that's me, 100% Popolo.
Yeah, I know that a great many people are offended by that, you know, when they hear, they say the Popolo, you know. For me, I just think, great. I mean, how often we say the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, and the Popolo reference, a berry, the nightshade family, and the medicinal has good things, so I look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, same here.
You know.
I love my Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad my dad came and that, you know, and landed here,
mm-hmm.
and met my mom, because I would never, matter of fact, this is my home, period.
Mm-hmm.
And mainland, never been there,
mm-hmm.
not interested in really going there and living. I'm going to stay here on the islands,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm going to play some music.
Yeah, unless you get invited to play in Carnegie.
There you go.
Or it doesn't necessarily have to be Carnegie Hall, but at least to get out. But there's a real rich lesson to be taught, and information that I personally see a lot of times. People here are not willing to own up for some reason. They've been beaten back, and they're the way it come across to me personally is that they've been taught that there's something wrong with that. They've been stigmatized that being African American and Hawaiian is like you're Hawaiian, but you're really not, like, you know.
Right, right. I hear you. Where I come from, and in my heart, rather, I'm not going to deny my mom or my dad.
Right.
So I'm Black Hawaiian, like I said, and the local sound down there is Popolo.
Right.
So I go along with that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Popolo.
Mm-hmm.
And I brand that as 100% Popolo. I love my island. I love my Hawaiian people.
Yeah. So your mother's name was, maiden name was?
Helen Muilikapu Ka'imi.
Ka'imi.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to listen to another song in a bit. And if you want to do one now,
all right.
Help yourself. And Bobby Parks and Dwayne Ka'alii.
There you go. We're going to let go of this one song I've written for my lady. It's entitled love you more.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 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 ah. Had no clue that I was loving you. You say, hey, your love is shining through, but you know me, I loved you more, more than you ever knew. I loved you more, it's you, though it's true. I bring your love sent from above. This heart won't lie, look into my eyes. Oh baby, I love you more, more than you ever knew. I love you more, it's you, no it's true. Loving you. You say, hey, your love is shining through, but you know me, I love you more, more than you ever knew. I love you more, this you know it's true. I love you more, baby, more than you ever knew. Oh, I love you more, this you know it's true.
Bobby Parks, Dwayne Ka'ai Ili.
Ka'ai.
Anyway, Bobby, when you grew up here, what was it like being a kid? You just had fun. I mean, we don't, right now we see the busy traffic, and I know when I got here in 1989, Waianae was just the place to, when you want to just get away, and it was old Hawaii in a sense, and you had traffic, but you didn't have as much. But how was it like running across the street to dip in the water and grab crabs or moi or eat? What was it like? Take us back, because you, what, 62 now, right?
62.
That's ancient.
That's it. All right. That's about your age, too, huh?
Exactly. Two fossils sitting here having a conversation.
Yeah. No, back then, there was Kiawe on the ocean side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Kiawe all the way to Macau.
Wow.
And there's little trails going through. And there's nice sandy beach. And a lot of sand crabs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see fishes. Mm-hmm. You can see them.
Right on the water's edge. Huh?
Right in the water's edge. Opihi all over the place. And we used to have our sand slide boards made out of plyboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to sand slide, body surf. We stayed in that water till my mom came over to that Kiawe bush. She said, hey, mm-hmm. it's about time you guys get out of that water.
So you go about 8 in the morning and stay there till late at night.
Dive in. We never wear glasses. We always opened our eyes on the water.
Mm-hmm.
I never wore...
No goggles.
Goggles, yeah.
And you were just successful in spearfishing?
Spearfishing, yeah. Mm-hmm. We always done that, and we had a whole bunch of fish to come home and clean, fry it up, and eat it back in the days. This island changed a lot
right
from then.
Mm-hmm.
Now the water is milky, how they ain't got no fishes out there. Limo's gone. Places that I used to go in and you can see colors, the reef, all the different corals.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like stone. That's all it is.
Just gray stone, slate.
Just dark.
Everything
stone.
Is pretty much dead.
Yeah. And that fear, I got this little fear in me about jumping in the water after seeing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed out of the water,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm staying out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're seeing that, and you being raised here, born here in the cultural ways, and do you see yourself missing much of that now, or is it... Is it still available? What would you do on a weekend? Did you go hula dancing? Did you go watch hula? Did you go luau? Did you go... What was it like?
Well, usually we're going through the mountains, going pig hunting,
mm-hmm.
and with my uncle. And this is at a young age now. We used to be up there real early in the morning catching pigs. And in the ocean, we just go out there and dive in all day or lay net.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's difficult. You
mm-hmm.
need license for this and license for that and whatnot. You know, you need some kind of type of permit.
To go to fish in milky water or to dive in milky
yeah.
water to bone it.
Ever since they built that, I guess it's that electric plant.
Right.
Yeah, it's been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus the sewers that goes out there and whatnot. It's just straight terrible
mm-hmm.
to me because I've been in the days that it was clear water. You jump in the water, you got a little poke or scratch or a cut.
Right.
And you jump in the water, you know it's going to heal it. It cleans it out first,
mm-hmm.
then you get out of the water, it dries up, and you heal.
Mm-hmm.
Now you jump in the water, and you get out, and you start itching.
Right.
And then it gets worse. You start getting... you know,
staph infections
yeah.
and what have you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow.
I'm not into getting out there and body surfing anymore. You know, which I still can.
Right.
You know, but I'm not into it. I'd rather stick around with my guitar at home
mm-hmm.
and just practice.
So
music.
With this big political thing that goes on in this state called Hawaii.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a country, but we've been trained and learned coming later to call it a state.
Oh, boy.
So, well, the 50th state or the 49th state, or I don't know how you rank them, but...
Well, back in the day, I remember I was in the second grade, 1959, and there was this big poster up with this president that we're supposed to have voted for, and then we became a state.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I became a United States citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I never signed nothing, never put an X on anything,
mm-hmm.
but I immediately became an American citizen. Then I was forced, before I could get a job, to get a Social Security, or else I can't get it, I can't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's automatically, to me, I'm not from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from here. I'm Hawaiian. My mom is Hawaiian. I'm never going to deny that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd rather have it back in the day where we just a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hawaiian kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have it back then and stop trying to continuously lie to us and saying that we're something we're not. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're just Hawaiians. We're born and raised here, and that's it. I'm Hawaiian.
You found us Hawaiian, so leave us Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not. You don't need. You can get along. You don't need to be indoctrinated. And I think there's a lot of stress. You can feel it, and people being told who they are, and then they can't live as who they are because of the system now. It's just you subsistence to live. I mean, imagine. I know when I got here, you could find limu
yeah.
on the coast there.
Everywhere.
And there's some still. But, I mean, I'm from Mississippi, and I'm familiar with seaweeds of various species.
Right.
But when I got over here, you can stand there and pick it and eat it and wash it off. And just right there,
yeah.
I wouldn't suggest it now. But with the sewage flowing and all of those and car runoffs and.
Correct. It's really terrible to me. And talking about our state, we're not a state, we're a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they denied my mom her property, you know, and all of a sudden we ain't got nothing but a homestead. She's on the homestead now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually she passed away already by now, but mm-hmm. it's just that, you know, we need our land back. You know, let us have our what we own.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did that, a lot of Hawaiians wouldn't be camping at the beach, wouldn't be getting into some kind of crime that they need that way to survive because mm-hmm. they don't know better, some
mm-hmm.
of them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's no jobs for them to get work, so they're out there, and I pass them every day on the streets, and they're living in bushes.
Mm-hmm. That large community there in Waianae near the boat harbor there.
Correct.
And so for me, it's sad to see that, and it's just to know that other human beings have to be subjected to that. So I imagine you being Hawaiian, living here, and seeing the historical background, the backdrop.
Correct.
I'm not going to speak for you, but I would imagine it's painful. It aches.
Well, it hurts, and we let it out as soon as there's a question mm-hmm. about it. You know, can't help it. Just let it out.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like we're complaining over nothing, but we're complaining over a real thing. Our kingdom
mm-hmm.
has been taken from us, not bought or not overthrown. Just take it.
Not even in a decent agreement. You really don't have any. Evidence that you once owned it, per se, as far as the papers. You know,
correct.
You go down and you look at it, it's like, how did Castle and Cook get all of their land?
Correct.
And then how did the, you know, the various companies and everyone get land? And I heard yesterday a discussion about who purchased Lanai and the $600 million. Well, if $600 million sound cheap, imagine what it was purchased for.
Yeah.
And then how was it purchased? And so you go back and look at all of that, and I think that everyone, when my involvement, it's like they say, well, you're the environmentalist. But the reality is I'm trying to present evidence to show that even though it was stripped from your hands, your land, way back,
correct.
There's an institution now, a systemic effort to continue to deny you of that through,
I mean,
you got to pay taxes. Well, gee, to pay taxes, you got to have a job. Well, to get a job, you got to have this. But then the jobs that they have, you need to come down and work on the nuclear submarine and work down there, but you need an experience and expertise. So there's always a trap.
Yeah.
If there's baiting.
Correct. If there's a tax to be paid, we should be paying them to our kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to the United States. You know, that's. I don't know why they put this blindfold over all of us mm-hmm. with the words and the laws and all of that. And continuously, we point out the fact that this haven't been overthrown that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never had no war. Our mm-hmm. queen, just for we don't get killed, I guess. We don't get into no physical war. She just wrote a letter and she mm-hmm. asked them to correct it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, correct the wrong. That's simple, and that's all they needed to do is correct the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they chose to continuously tell us we're a state, made laws that don't pertain to us. Actually,
mm-hmm.
it's the United States laws. It's supposed to be for the United States. They can't branch out of their place and put it on us, which they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And practically everybody believes in it because it was brainwashed.
Yeah. And also, there's that element of the gun. They got the big guns, and they got the big, round-waisted sheriffs and the military and all that. And so it's a good conversation. It's a conversation where it's a balanced one. I'm sure the average person look at it and says, yeah, we're talking, we're having a conversation, but the reality is you if you don't agree up to a certain point, then out comes the gun. Yeah. Out comes the violations and the arrests. And many right. people say, and you have a degree of people, a certain element that says, well, quit bitching and just get on with it. And, you know, when once my civil rights, when I'm violated that way, just what they, when I say civil rights, mm-hmm. by definition, there are certain rights I have and there are certain rights I don't have, but it's dictated by others.
Correct.
So imagine being Hawaiian and you see all of this unfold. It's like watching a movie that's going bad for you, right. for you, because you've been here. The younger people, they're born into the system, so they would probably say, what in hell are you talking about?
Correct. This is, you don't understand it. They're having picked up the right education for it, you know, and mm-hmm. reading the right, our right history,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really what would happen.
Yeah, and out there in the community out there, in Y&I and other in the Hawaiian community, I notice there's a great debate intellectually. You know, there are people with degrees and whatever. But are they really talking to the everyday, the person that's walking that sidewalk, or the young lady who's Hawaiian ancestry, who's walking that sidewalk with the child in hand and the child on waist and looking into the future? How are they being addressed? And are they part of the system, or they've just been, they're throwaways?
Yeah, throwaways, because they never bring it to that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably have board meetings, but who shows up at them little board meetings mm-hmm. and you got a few minutes to speak what you're going to say?
A few minutes? Which one do you go? You only allow 1 minute.
Yeah.
And then you better be nice and.
Right.
Because if you say something wrong about their friend, they hammer you and shut up and overtalk you.
And it don't get past that.
Right.
You can put out a legitimate argument, however, it don't reach where it's supposed to reach.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the higher ups, and there's no change.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do change, they change something against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, redeveloping things that we don't need, we don't want. We want our land back, our home. You know, some of the people they fell into the Hawaiian homestead. Which I don't blame them. And the only problem is they're just giving you a little portion, a little piece. And then we have to pay for it, still yet, build a home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're under certain laws there on your blood quantities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hawaiian is Hawaiian. We're an international, we're Hawaiian-blooded. However, there was a lot of people, Hawaiians,
mm-hmm.
Mingled with back in then and accepted them.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived here, so we can't kick them off, you know, and what they worked for, we can't kick them off, but there's this way about we're prejudiced. We're not prejudiced. We just need our rights, you know, as Hawaiians, our own land back, our own kingdom, and whoever come over to visit, they'll get the aloha as usual.
Right. I hear that a lot, that reverse discrimination. And people can discriminate against one another just for many reasons. Historically, they've done that. But I think it's really a sad event or an occasion when someone resort to saying it's reverse discrimination when, in fact, there's so much, I call it chaos, in this place, that even though it's paradise, as some describe it, you get on the plane and there's this beautiful magazine and these lovely women and the very fresh looking young males with the Anglo-Saxon features and the, you know, and then you say, well, gee, why am I not, take the surfing. There's been a recent debate about the local kids can't be participating in the surfing.
Right.
And this is just yet another injury. An insult, because you've already been stripped, and then anything else that you might have some relief, you're even denied to participate in by systemic practices, denied and manipulated. And I know, you know, they say, well, you need academics in order to participate in this surf contest. You must have certain academics, but you see, they don't follow through.
correct.
And making sure that if you can surf, well, gee, let's set up a school and teach you how to read, write, and speak, and, you know, and then you could be a smart-ass surfer rather than just a...
Correct, correct. One of my sons, middle son, he talked to me about that, exactly that, what you were saying regarding surfing and bringing back where it originated from, you know, from Duke Onomoku. And now there's every other race out there.
In the race, but not the Hawaiians.
No.
Yeah.
Rarely you're going to see Hawaiian out there, you know. And it's not because we don't want to participate. It's, there's something that's blocking the whole thing.
I can imagine my observation is that I hear a lot of people say, well, there's no racism here in Hawaii. Well, first of all, let me hook you up to this machine that's called the lie detector. and the first thing you said was a lie.
Yeah.
You know, there is a systemic and this goes against the grain of some of the well-educated or better educated or the people that are willing to forgive and incorporate the whole world on this one island. And wait, the island is only so small. It has such a limited carrying capacity. So just that in itself is the displacement of the native people is going to take place. While everybody, you know, standing there with their arms open and aloha, they don't understand.
Right.
Come with that love that you're projecting outward can be the death of your culture.
Correct.
I'm not saying be standing on the shoreline with sticks and hammering out, you know, fighting. But again, just metaphorically, it's the ship comes in and the Hawaiian people found themselves at the losing end. I observe.
There's nothing for the Hawaiians here. Just commercialize things to bring tourists and to enjoy Waikiki, you know, and that's about it. And they can, you know, tax them and whatnot to make money. But as for the true Hawaiians, you know, the ones living back in Waianae, Haleiwa, Haula, all of that, you know, they're just working day to day, barely making it, you know, and nothing said about them until they take the property.
Yeah.
You know, and build some kind of skyscraper there or some resort.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time people try to band together and say no. However, the state, for some reason, whoever they elect, no matter who it is, they're against the Hawaiians.
Yeah, and I can say that based on the things that I've witnessed and dug up and find and reading, it is just that they don't place a Hawaiian culture on the front burner.
No.
And it becomes a nuisance more than anything because now they got to navigate it when in fact they should regulate as they have in the books on the laws to protect the culture, to protect the Iwi Kupuna.
Correct.
But again, for you, you and I chat many times on the phone, and I'm sure the NSA probably has a tractor trailer load of tapes of us talking. And can you hear those? There's two Popolo guys together, and one's mixed with Hawaiian, and another they don't know what he is, but they're talking radical stuff, man. And reality is that the conversation contains only those contents that we are, as a nation called America, traveling around the world installing this great freedom and respect for one's culture and people and self-ruling and self, you know. But in reality, a nation, while we are preaching that, we're standing on the heads of a native people. And systemically, the federal government is very casual in its application of the law and enforcement.
Yeah,
you know, and protection. And then the state is very casual with its protection and its enforcement of the city for violations, and the city just simply don't give a damn.
No, no, it just keeps going on and on and on, and I don't know. when it's going to stop, but I pray it does. You know, mm-hmm. we need our land back. We need our rights back here in Hawaii
right.
as Hawaiians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just can't keep going on. I can't see it how it's going to keep going on, but it does.
Well, yeah,
it just
and
keeps going.
And it just it's dim the bleak.
Chances.
Yeah, I mean, based on what's going on, because you have well educated people in the community,
right?
Mean well. But they too are being carried by the momentum of the stream, so to speak.
I hear you.
And
federal recognition.
Right. And federal recognition or whatever. And the worst thing in the world is to be somebody and know who you are and then have someone saying, but hold on, we're going to recognize you one day for who you are. And it must be a struggle and frustrating to, I already know who I am.
Yeah.
Just give me the tools and give me my rights back and get out of my way, and we probably will find our way back to where we were as a nation, as a kingdom,
right.
And let us figure out. But see, here's something I'll pull your coattail on. See, the rest of the world think that people of color can't manage their own affairs, so they need to have their hands in it to manage it for us.
Yeah.
And then when they do that, then they turn around and say, look at all those welfare brats.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want something for nothing. No, I want a lot of everything, but I just want you out of my way. And that applies in the ghetto, and whether it's on Paradise here on this island or other islands.
Correct.
There's something, there's a struggle. But I want to ask you publicly. So in Mississippi, where you're from, where I'm from, if you're born and you have the law is if you have one drop of black blood in you, you're black.
Right.
Right?
Right.
In Hawaii, to be really to get the benefits, you have to have what?
Okay, well I'm I got it both ways because I tell you.
I was going to, yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah.
So how do you fit when there you know that there's, you qualify as one for 1%, but over here you're 50%, but
right.
You got to have, it's, your life is a numbers game, man.
Yeah. Hey, got my bass player over here laughing, man. You know. I tell you.
You must be one confused brother.
Hey, I tell you something. They come up with, though, I'm half Hawaiian, half black. My black is catching it already. My Hawaiian got overthrown. You know.
Snatched.
Oh, yeah, straight snatched. And man,
yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to, like I said, look at the brothers down there and my sisters. Speaking about my Hawaiian people,
mm-hmm.
they're living in bushes, you know. And from the time when I was young, they never had that.
Right.
If you was living in bushes, it means you was camping.
Right.
You know. Now, that's a permanent home, man, under some branches.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll make a law that you can't even stay under that. Where are they going to put these people? Where are they going to put us on Hawaii?
You got no job, so you did have a car when you arrived there, but now you got no job and you can't pay the registration, the safety check. You can't get your license because you ain't got no money, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And then all of a sudden it's seized or getting 1,000 parking tickets because you ain't got any money.
You
can't afford any gas. So it goes into a warrant,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you're picked up. And then you're in jail, now you can't get out of jail, and you can't afford to pay any money, so you cop a plea, so you're going to do one.
Hey.
That sounds like, to me, a prosperous nation, a kingdom that is destined to succeed.
I'm telling you, man, it sounds like you're a psychic. That's going on all day, every day.
Yeah.
They put their best into putting us Hawaiians away, any man of color,
mm-hmm.
you know, people of color. They're doing that and getting away with it. And then some of the people that, you know, I don't blame them. Some of them is just not educated enough, meaning
mm-hmm.
not stupid, but just not don't have that education or heard about it. They trap people
but
in
yeah.
that. They put more and more laws out here in Hawaii. And, you know, lock you up over it after a while.
Yeah, the Hawaiian people are Akamai. They don't. They know that. See, when we say well educated, I know a lot of well educated people. Well educated.
Uh-huh.
But here's the problem: we still got crap flowing down the streams.
Right.
We still got sewage being dumped, and these are the well educated people that we still have just out where you live. Ash that is dumped and initially concerned with arsenic and cancers, and and now the arsenic and is just sitting there in the ash. And but it was the well educated people that made that decision. You see, so it must be painful. I can't imagine. I know how painful it is. And then just recently, I see this thing in Ferguson, Missouri, right?
Right.
Where they targeted African Americans or blacks to basically subsidize the budget in that city,
uh-huh.
or in that city state, whatever the heck they call it.
Correct. Ticket them.
And so, you know, quite often I talk about the disproportionate numbers of Hawaiians that are incarcerated here and shipped out.
Right.
But then you have to ask yourself, what's the difference? Because apparently you need, if you invite companies that build prisons and build private prisons and you enter in a contract, then you have a condition that you must place so many people there, right?
Correct.
So if that's the case, if that's true, then this is a Ferguson that already has played itself out and revealed itself right here in Hawaii, because disproportionate numbers of Hawaiians are in prison.
Correct.
And so to fuel that economy, the state economy, or the people that got money and built a prison, and back to our state leaders who wear the aloha shirt and the lei and get the a'o, what's the tool, the stick, when they go out to the sites to break ground.
Break ground, yeah.
Yeah. You see them standing there, and that's yet another spear in the heart of a Hawaiian. It's the culture as I see it, because they're not going to be the owners of it. They're not going to be participating or having it.
Yeah.
To call it their own.
We can be self-sufficient if we'll just give us back our land. This, we had that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know we need food here.
Mm-hmm.
We need our agricultural land back, you know, and stop building homes on it now. You put homes where homes belong, you know? Not in our agricultural land.
Right.
You know, how are we going to eat here? Then we're going to have that food coming in from the mainland. 97% now is coming in, you know? And we got, it's going to last. If it just, something happens bad here, the food lasts us a week or two, you know?
So imagine you're living on a Hawaiian homeland, and you're already limited, because and that's was a safety net, so to speak.
Right.
But in reality, there's so much stress to be had in a lease.
Correct.
Or a Hawaiian homes property, I can tell you. And it really is not working. It's just, it's prolonging the inevitable, a destruction of a nation or destruction of a people. Methodically, just done by an institutional practice and a set of ways and rules that are in place. They don't respond to your issues. They don't, you have vacant properties, and I know there's circumstances, but vacant properties on Hawaiian homelands and
correct.
And all of this, they're not meaning. And when they steal old money to the Hawaiian people, and yet the system is just simply void of any sensible management, sensible practices, and you're probably going to see an increase in the number of people out there in Waianae.
Yeah.
You know?
And without that, I have to agree with that. There's a lot of empty lots here and there,
mm-hmm.
and people just ain't got the money because they need to go to work mm-hmm. for it. They ain't got no job,
yep.
you know. Or even if they have a job, they don't make enough.
And can't afford to.
It seems like everything is just gauged mm-hmm. just enough where you can't make it. You know, you can work. Now it takes more than one parent to support the home.
Right.
Now it has to be two. You know, mother and father has to be working. Now who can be home with the child?
Financial genocide.
And then from there, where it leads from there? Nobody's going to be home with the child. You have to put them in this program and pay them. You know, so they really got us, like how you said, financially genocide.
Well, yeah, they're killing you softly. And and that goes for everybody. Even the ones that if you get sick, you can have something. You don't have to be Native Hawaiian in the system. And you get sick and can't afford it, you're out. There goes everything. Anyway, play another song. This is the Carol Cox Show. I'm sitting here talking with Bobby Parks from Y&I and Dwayne Ka'aili.
Here we go. Let's do this Endless Part of You. I wrote that song also. I run to open arms. Imagine it's you. I ran. Cause the memories are true. I read your mind on an old phone line, and you had the love which holds the key. I've opened the book to your broken heart. I've read between the lines that stormy night you hid your love, and oh, you unwind. A page is torn at the end. See, I wrote those lines, and no more wandering. No, not even Denise. See, I wrote the endless part of you. Yes, I wrote the endless part of you. Well, I wrote the endless part of you. Lines with heartwarming rhymes. Need me if you need to. See, I truly want you. It's all in the answers I see in your eyes. In every shade of your eyes, you turn me inside. I've opened the book to your broken heart, and I've read between the lines that stormy night you hid your love, and oh, you unwind. A page is torn at the end. See, I wrote those lines, and no more wandering. No, not even Denise. See, I wrote the endless part of you. Well, I wrote the endless part of you. Yes, I wrote the endless part of you. Ooh.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Black is the color of my true love's hair. His face so soft and wondrous fair, the purest eyes and the strongest hands. I love the ground on where he stands. I love the ground on where he stands. Black is the color of my true love's hair.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Did you think of me last night? Do you have me on your mind? For a moment, did you hold me in your heart? Baby, don't let this slip apart. In every thought I had of you, you float out your heart, your eyes, the way you move the hips, honey. I fail. Can't be without you, it's true. Ooh, honey, it's true. Sugar, it's true. Oh, it's true. Thank you. the stars fall out the skies, they gather in your eyes, and the moonlight dances on the water. Oh, they hypnotize. Oh, baby, my heart shines like the sun. It cries out, you're the one. Can't be without you. It's true. Oh, baby, yes, it's true. Honey, it's true. Oh, it's true. When the stars fall out the skies, they gather in your eyes, and the moonlight dances on the water. Oh, they hypnotize. Oh, baby, my heart shines like the sun. It cries out, you're the one. Can't be without you. It's true. Oh, baby, yeah, it's true. Honey, it's true. Oh, it's true.
All righty, Mr. Bobby Parks and Mr. Dwayne Ka'ali. So this is probably different from what most listeners out there, and you're welcome to call in 524-1080, and we'll give Bobby's contact number. Bobby goes to different events and play birthdays and what have you, and weddings, and so if you're inclined to want to have your lady listen to a beautiful song and some good music, give Bobby a call. I think the number was 308?
Yes.
0789. Bobby Parks, 308-0789. And help a brother out.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
And and I was sitting here thinking, maybe we ought to call your band the Brothers in Poi.
Oh, boy. I'm still thinking of a name.
Well, that's okay. Just keep thinking of the lyrics and keep singing them. That sounds good. You know, when you sang it to me the other day, you sang it over the phone. That was good.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and then we were talking about that sound of you. Some might say you're emulating Eric Neville. What's his name? Aaron Neville?
Yeah, Aaron Neville.
But in reality,
that was
it's
a shock when you said that.
And personally, he's okay, but I personally don't gravitate to his music.
But
the richness that you present, the Hawaiian side of it, and it's not falsetto, it's vibrato or whatever it is. I'm right. Never going to claim that I know anything about music.
Right.
Because you know why? Because I don't.
That's a good one.
But, you know, going back to talking about what happens here in Hawaii and what have you. Now, these are the do-gooders that come to town. And this was covered back in, some of you may have seen this in the former Abercrombie aide Bruce Copa joins lobbying firm January 9th, 2015 in the Pacific Business News. Let's see here. Mr. Copa, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you that he has become a lobbyist. What a great way to do things. One day you are working for government and then we vote you out, your group out, and then in turn you come back and the very people that wants to buy government, influence government, and shape the government's practices, you go and get on their payroll to go and represent you to the rest of the government people. How do you, is it fair to ask the question then, if you were disposed like that, would you have held back on some of the, I'm not questioning his integrity, but I'm just asking the possible that, why would a man bring himself to becoming a lobbyist? And there was a caller on the line, I guess he, sometimes some callers have something to say, but then they don't have the patience to wait to say it, so, you know, call back if you'd like to, caller. And let me just give you some, Jokar Enterprise. There's 19 of them now since January 1. He was the governor's top man. So in other words, anything that happened with the governor, or you wanted to talk to the governor, wanted his permission, or you just wanted to bring him flowers or say hello to him and look him in his beautiful blue eyes, you had to go through the chief of, you know, staff or what have you. And this Copa guy was that that powerful.
Wow.
So he, and then he went, there's another major lobbyist named Ratcliffe, John Ratcliffe. So he was brought into the system, and that company is called Capital Consultants, Red Morris and the folks. So he started off with a Jokar. He submitted some documents, one dated 1/23/15. This is, Ige came in the office, right? A month later, Copa is out there lobbying. He signed up for a lobby. So that's Jokar 1, AT&T. He's lobbying for AT&T. He's lobbying for Kona Brewing Company. I guess they give you good deals on beer. A long boy. He's lobbying for KPMG. And I do apologize, folks, because what is placed on the forms, if you try to track it down, it's really difficult because it's not giving you the specifics, but we'll go with what he put down. Then he's dealing with Motion Picture Association of America. He's a lobbyist for them now out of Washington, D.C. He's dealing with Monsanto.
Whoa.
Now, like I say, legally he can do this,
mm-hmm.
but ethically and morally, I don't know. If you and I drive down the road and we're doing something wrong, we may be making it safe. The law says, you know, speed limit is 25, but if there's children walking, little children, you probably want to slow down. Even though the law allows us to, we would probably, given the circumstances,
correct,
we'd reduce our speed and drive with greater caution, right?
Correct.
So just because the law allows them to, what a slap in the face, in my opinion, the way I interpret this, that I'm big, the government is for sale, and while we can't say that he did anything to favor these companies in the beginning, but gee whiz, only a couple months, man. How do you build a relationship with all these guys? They had to have known something that you were willing to carry their water for them.
I guess it's all regarding money.
Right.
You know, it's just the money.
It's the money. And so the reason I talk about these things is if the Akamai Hawaiian or the Akamai anybody who's really listening, they'd understand there's a greater message here in that we can be respected and acknowledge, oh, I want to say aloha to my friends and brothers out there, Maikai, you know, and I'm going to speak for Mana'au. And the reality is you're part of a system that's just grinding and grinding and grinding and crunching. And it is not suitable for respecting the Hawaiian culture. Nothing, it's not about racism, or it's just the way the system, and everybody sending their kids to school that can afford it, and they get education, and they come back, and the sad part about it, though, is that here's Bruce Copa working at the front office, and now he is basically government for sale after the fact.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that he would have done this if he didn't have the connections, right?
Wow.
you know, don't take me seriously on that, but you hiring? No, I'm just joking.
Man. Well, you see, you don't, and this is the thing, it's not about expertise or it's not about your education. It's about your connections, and that's the problem. That's has been the most debilitating thing to the Hawaiian culture is not only were they taken the country, snatched from their hands at gunpoint,
right?
But you're being held at gunpoint, and then you're having to endure the practices that others come up here and say that, and they talk a good story. I mean, oh, my God. You know, you look at them, and it's like, wow, they can, oh, he speaks Hawaiian. You know,
why we would need federal recognition. That's what I don't understand. We can be just the, you know, Hawaiian kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, our own kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But why would we need to be recognized just so, you know, things be okay with us from the feds?
Now,
you know, what's federal recognition?
All now, about? If I'm not mistaken, and if callers, if you're out there, you know different, but immediately when I saw Monsanto being a recipient of his services, Bruce Culper, I think, wow, if I'm not mistaken, there's Hawaiian homelands on Molokai that was being used as leased out to Monsanto by some other individual. The governor should have said, no, and it's impacting the people and what have you. Well, it didn't happen, and then now all of a sudden, Johnny Come Lately, or Johnny Do-Goody, for me, goes and represent. So there's also TRG, Waikiki LLC. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, just a comment. Your guest is Kopa, K-O-P-A?
No. Mr. Parks, Bobby Parks.
Oh, I heard you referencing Kopa, K-O-P-A.
Bruce Culper is the gentleman that was the chief of staff, basically, for mayor for Governor Neil Abercrombie. I'm sorry. See, this is where I make the mistake. We talk funny. Okay, Ed, but thanks for making me clear that up. Bruce Culper, who's a former executive with the Abercrombie administration. And, you know, Abercrombie went out of office after we voted him out,
right,
showed
right.
him the way. Now Culper's coming back to show the big business the way.
Oh, okay.
But
thank you.
Government's for sale, man. Open for business. But anyway, thanks. But so we have here, he's also UHA Health Insurance, right? So I wonder if he's representing them. I don't know the history of UHA, but I wonder if they were in this Obama thing and the health care system that the state couldn't deliver or couldn't fix up. But I wonder, you know, the chief of staff sitting at the front door, and now he has a job lobbying for the people of interest. I don't know how they factor into the Obamacare, the health care issues, but United Food and Commercial Workers Union, it's another person, a company there. Ernst & Young LLP he's representing, lobbying for. And by the way, you can go to hawaiiethics.gov, and find these. Just click on forms and lobbyists registered, and by law they are having to register. So then he's Hawaii Management Alliance Association. And basically that's John Henry Felix and the people involved in that is Mufi Hanneman's wife Gail and William McCorston and others. I'll give you a list of people that are involved in that Hawaii Management Alliance Association. William McCorston, Gail Mukai, Hata Hanneman, John Henry Felix, and Warren Price III. So he's now lobbying for them, for that company. Then also Host Marriott. He's Host Hotels and Resorts. So we have that one. Then he's doing Dollar Financial Group, a care of multi-state association, Inc. He has the Infor U.S. Inc. He's lobbying for those. They're St. Paul, Minnesota, and you know how to. Here's one for Washington D.C. Entertainment Software Association in Washington D.C. So how did they find this guy? I mean, does he walk around the office and say, "I'm open for business," or how do you get these relationships? Then he's doing Aflac. So I don't know how Aflac figured into the Obama medical issues and getting the computer running up and running in the state. But American Chemistry Council, and that's out of Sacramento, California. Then we have CGL companies. If you go online and look up that, it's not clear what companies they are in a business search. Charlie's Taxi. Dale Evans is the person, as we know. She has hired him for a lobbyist. And Capital Consultants, as I said, is owned by the main officers or partners or what have you. It's managed by partners. Is George A. Morris, as we know him, Red Morris, and John Ratcliffe. So that's what we got, folks. Government is not for sale. It's just that if you got the money, they'll lobby for you. And again, if you ain't got the money, can you imagine him lobbying for the people out there in Waianae living in the trees?
Wow. I can't imagine that. He ain't going to make too much.
Yeah. And so the whole idea is that the reason we see this, just it's being chipping away at the culture and all of these things that are in place, it's one big lie. One big lie, and it's so unfortunate that you hear people say, well, we don't have anything like racism here. I'm not like Mississippi. We don't have racism here. No, you don't. It's worse. Because, as you pointed out, you can't even take, and I don't know what it was historically, you probably had to respect everybody's land, but you at least had some land that you could grow taro and you can trade. You didn't have to have land, but if you were a good swimmer and a good fisherman, voila, you could trade the fish and what have you.
Survive.
And you could survive, subsistence. Mm-hmm. But they say, well, they need to go off and get an education. Well, you know, the saddest thing in the world is I always hear people say, Columbus discovered America, a people that existed forever.
Yeah, thousands of years.
Helped him pull his boat in when his butt could.
And he discovered it.
And he discovered it. Now, imagine going to Africa. They discovered Africa.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, as George Bush say, you know, look at all those all those African Americans in Africa.
Yeah.
No, George, they're not African Americans. They're Africans.
Yeah.
So when in Hawaii here, you know, it's the same thing. But where are they?
Well, they're trying to make us a tribe right now. So I don't know how to get around these people, but just to say I'm Hawaiian.
I know a good lobbyist I can refer you to if you for the tribe.
I'm telling you that
it's sickening, you know, and you. A culture can't sustain itself and endure or survive this kind of lie. It can't.
No. Nope.
And all those out there, I want to be called Viola. I want to be this. I want to be on the list. And go at it, guys. You're playing right in their hands.
Correct.
You're playing, really? Oh, I want to be OHA. We're going to wait and see what OHA says. I can tell you what they're going to say.
Yeah.
You know, screw them, but screw them lightly, because we want to be humane about it. It's not designed. The system is not going to. OHA is not going to go up against the United States government or the military installation here. It's not going to do that.
No.
They may say they will, but at the long term, they'll trade land.
Their proposal is actually an order. You know, they want us to be federal recognized. So, in other words, we ain't going to get nowhere at all. What is federal recognition? We're still under the government here.
Federal recognition means this. At every 3 months, what they're going to do, they're going to come along Farrington Highway and build a big cement platform so that they can bag up the cheese trucks and the Spam trucks.
Yeah.
And some oatmeal and luncheon meat and a bag of flour. You'll get that, and that's
federal recognition.
That's federal recognition.
Yeah.
Really?
I got you.
And then the guys over there that granted that will go back to Washington and sit there and grovel over, well, see, those people, you need to put them to work. They want something for nothing. No, they want more than spam and rice for their land. They want their culture back. They want to live it, right?
Uh-huh.
And God forbid, there's probably someone out there going, well, you know, they shouldn't have lost it. But when you got a big gun in your hand, and you pretty much own everything, right?
Yeah, they work on that really. They stay on that gun thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, the this whole process, and we were talking about fishing and subsistence living, and you if you went up to the mountain to pick fern shoots,
right?
You are likely to get arrested because you're in conservation land.
Correct.
And if you go on someone else's property, you're likely to get arrested for a trespass. Sounds like that's good climate and environment for the growth of a culture and a nation to sustain itself, huh?
No, it ain't. You know, but that's the way they go. And they put up new laws after new laws after laws after laws. They just keep coming up with any kind of laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't even go up there and pick up a mountain apple.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, you go to pick up a mountain apple and be the forbidden fruit.
Hey. Forbidden fruit, yeah.
Yeah, you're forbidden to, we forbid you to enter our land because this is conservation land.
Yeah.
You know what conservation land is, right?
Correct.
That's conservation land is that we save that for the endangered species, right?
Right.
And then the Hawaiian says, well, that's exactly what I am. I just don't have feathers.
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
You know, it's like, that's the thing. They're here singing that song, that mantra, we want to protect the endangered species, right? But the reality is, the real endangered species is a Hawaiian culture.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a laughing manner, in a way, fashion.
The people.
It's there's, I mean, if you got a, you got a guy that sits and can take, work for the government, be the government's right-hand man, and screaming who comes, who gets a meeting, and then the next thing you know, he becomes a lobbyist for companies that want to consume and it will have impacts on the people and the culture here.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong there.
Yeah, but they work on that real steady.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then the Carlton Ching, you saw that guy that was voted out. The governor finally got some senses and about him and withdrew his name at the last. And sitting there watching that, I was there at the Senate hearing, and it was rather entertaining. I have not seen anybody squirm so hard, and especially a group of people squirm, because they knew, both when I say they, the Senate knew that the people had spoken. So they had to decide, are we going to help our friend, or are we going to do what the people say and so we can stay in? Because that's what ultimately the message was.
Right.
You dare vote him in. There's 13 of you that dare cross that line. It's easy to vote 13 people out than the whole 25 Senate.
Right.
So I can't, just wished I was there, but I saw them come in and McCartney entered the floor at the Senate real briefly, and I'm thinking, wait, if McCartney is here, he's not a senator. There must be a communication that he's withdrawn. And sure enough, I was able to look down on the thing there, and they were passing him out, and they confirmed that the governor had removed. And you can see a copy of that letter if you'd like. Just curious, go to carolcox.com and see what's there, and you can see what the governor had to say. But yeah. But how do you survive in a culture survive, or anything survive, when you got this kind of people working against you or working for the other fellow? Where's the balance, you know?
I can't see no balance in that. And the powerful is just getting powerful. Just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that, you know, they found their way out, you know, the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our governor now, that he took that guy out, and I guess they're going to put somebody else in.
Yeah. Yeah, they put somebody else in, but you know what? I think it's unfortunate. The governor, we thought we had a fine racehorse that we finally got a racehorse that was gonna, but the rain got on him and we got his true colors. He's just a zebra.
Right. A zebra.
He looked like a stallion with good intentions and had vigor, but I watch him now but the whole process, as we speak, here's an example. If you go to the ethics website, state ethics website, and I don't know why they call it ethics. I honestly don't know. It's just, I guess, it's okay to, it's, the name isn't registered, so you can assign it to any government agency or any group of people. But it sounds good, but really, the ethics commission in itself, both the city and the state, is probably... You ever seen fish that has been laying around too long?
Correct, yeah.
It's good for nothing.
Right.
And it just, you know, it. That's what the Ethics Commission, it's a big cover-up. We have the state ethics guy. I file a complaint against the DLNR, DoCare officers, and he had the nerves, and it just does not set well with me. You know, you respect someone, then they call you up and go, I am not going to come on your radio show. Okay. I am not going to go and investigate that because I don't take outside complaints and blah, 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 blah. You know, at first I tried to rationalize that and say, okay, well, I understand. You know. But now it doesn't set well. My every waking hour will be spent when I have the occasion to talk about and share with the public what the so-called, both at the city and the state, is just doing. And the Hawaii State Ethics Commission, this is resolution of charges of 2015-1, state employees' acceptance of free golf. On the surface, that sounds like, well, gee, what's wrong with free golf? Right? I mean, what's the harm in that? Okay, they were wrong. But the problem is they give the state worker free golf, but they don't tell you that the state worker was the guy who was making the plans and approving the permits and looking, you understand, making the evaluation. You follow.
Right.
It goes deeper, much deeper. And this there's this practice now within the state, the ethics department, to look cute and be fancy. He's not really enforcing ethics rules and nurturing the ethics. But here, the Hawaii State Ethics Commission investigated a number of state employees for accepting golf from contractors, consultants, vendors, and or other entities that had contracts or other business relationship with the state of Hawaii. Golf being given to workers, well, no big problem. But let's look at some of the people that gave these golf trips and gave golf games and what have you. Akanaka and Associates, Amaran, Hawaii. Ava and Associates, Bird S. Mitsunaga, Bowers and Kubota. Cement and Concrete Products Industry of Hawaii, Central Construction, Community Planning and Engineering, Design Partners, Grace Pacific, Hawaiian Cement, Island Ready Mix Concrete, Kai Hawaii, Kihei Gardens and Landscaping Company, KSF, Masonry Institute of Hawaii, Mitsunaga and Associates, Next Design, Okahara and Associates, Parsons Brinkerhoff, RM Towel Corporation, Ronald N.S. Ho and Associates, S. Nakagawa Mechanical Consultants, Sodexo, SSFM International, and TM Designers. It also appeared that additional firms paid for the respondents' golf. However, names of those firms were not known. Now, let me say something. If you're doing an investigation and you're going to, supposedly you got these and you're going to work something out with the guys that took the golf games, what do you mean by it is also appeared that additional firms paid for the respondents' golf? Well, if you know it appears, then you need to sit down. If you're working out with these guys, you're not going to prosecute them criminally, then you need to come clean with everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Ethics Commission. Caller, go ahead with your comments, question.
Sweet Jesus, you know how to destroy my year. Going through that list is incredible.
Wait, let me hit replay.
No, I need another thing, Cal. Holy, my God. I was there sitting quietly looking at my final mailing for the city council, shallow utility lines, etc. Time to get rolling. Why does Hart need to reconcile to convene SMA now? This is 08, told in 08, soft rail, not fixed rail. Red letter day, is this pressure on the city council? Developers focus on taxpayer, don't you understand? Now, I'm just sitting quietly, and now you come on with that list.
Well, you know, I have a recommendation. While we can't prescribe medicine here, but I would suggest you take two ice cold Tsing Tao and sit back and sip them, and then.
Listen, I got a double Daniels with a bean back. I'm not. Forget the beer now. You have no idea what you've done.
Well, my friend, and as always, you know, we'll give you the documents, and because I know at our age we're still using stone and chisel, but.
I have a computer in the box in my apartment. But I've got so much in this budget, I can't get my books in front of off the old computer and get the new computer in.
Now listen to this. This is an investigation while I got you here. Oh. This is the ethics, and they've rendered a decision and a settlement with this. But look how we do business. The ethics.
Go ahead.
Marshall Ando, Department of Transportation Harbors, administrative penalty, $7,500. Administrative penalty, right? Stealing, lying, we can't say that he, by taking a free golf trip from one of these companies, he did anything illegal, but it was unethical, so, right? But how much did the company get for that little golf game, right? Now, firm believed to have paid golfer, alleged acceptance of golf, alleged failure. SSFM International gave a golf tournament one time, right? Put on a whole golf tournament. TM Designers and Mitsunaga and Associates, golf tournament three times. After the charge was issued, this respondent proffered evidence that he was on sick leave on the day of one of the golf tournaments. You know, and how many times he failed to report it? Three times, okay?
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, cement and concrete products industry, golf tournament one time. Now, follow this. Mitsunaga and Associates golf tournament eight times, right? And they failed to report it eight times, but it was a mistake.
Oh, come on. Now, Mr. Cox, you know what you've started. I want to tell you about Nestor Garcia and the Ethics Committee. They had violations of conflict of interest against Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the documents. I've got 40 pages, and he was fined on a $6,000. In 2 weeks, he was back on the council. Now, I know we don't want to talk about the rail, but the problem, the Trojan horse in Hawaii is the rail, because all the money's got to go to the rail. And whether it's fees or general excise tax or real property tax, they got to get the rail done, and they take it from every source they possibly can.
Well, you know, the thing here, the Trojan horse, I think there's a Trojan here, but it ain't a horse. Mitsunaga and Associates golf tournament eight times, and then R.M. Towel golf tournament two times, but they failed to report these. Kai Hawaii golf tournament one time, failed to report it. Cement and concrete, now get this, golf tournament, they provided it 11 times, they gave tickets or tournaments.
Mr. Cox, for my benefit, can you? I'm very reluctant to ask this, but
can I get your copy?
Can you tell me exactly where you're getting this? What list does this come from?
Well, if I tell you, I'd have to charge you.
Charge?
No. Go to Hawaii ethics Hawaii at hawaii.gov.
Hawaiianethics.gov.
Yeah, Ethics at Hawaii. I'm sorry, ethics at Hawaii.gov. That's the email, and you can go to the Hawaii.gov and go to Ethics Commission.
I'm in my box. I'm unfixing my computer, and I'm going to get to it right away.
Okay, so it's on the Ethics Commission, and just go there, and it'll tell you. But Ameron gave tickets, I guess it's alleged acceptance of golf for tournaments one time, Hawaii Cement one time. Let's see here, Nakagawa Mechanical Consultants, golf tournament one time, golf tournaments for SSM, Bowers and Kubota's one time, Ava and Associates golf tournament one time, unnamed consultants, UH Community Colleges, right, golf tournament one time. Akanaka, but again, this is, and what I didn't say here, let me back up. Well, this gentleman, Marshall Ando, paid $7,500 for his. Gerobin Carnate paid $6,000. Brian Kashiweda, Baeda, paid $3,200 penalty. Another one, Mana'i paid $3,000, and he was, now the guy that had 11 tickets here, hold on here, this was Jerobin Carnate, he got 11, a total of 12, well, here, let's see, 11, 13, 15, 16, 17 free golf tournament tickets, and he paid a $6,000 settlement. Now, you know, he wasn't guilty of anything if you read the Ethics Commission. So what's happening is that the Ethics Commission is running out, and this guy wants to look good, and he's giving away, he might as well step aside because the money taken isn't worth it. So
supposedly a private independent investigation without any consequences.
Well, here's one, Eric Nishimoto, Department of Accounting and General Services. See, you got to understand, this is just not giving just any old body, the bus boy, anything. These are guys that are Department of Transportation Harbors Division, Department of Transportation Highway Division, Materials Testing and Research, wait now, Materials Testing and Research Branch, Structural Materials Section, okay? So, Cement and Concrete, Island Ready Mix, Ameron, Hawaiian Cement, Masonry, you know what that means, right? When we see our roads, when they install the roads and 2 to 3 weeks later they got potholes again, this means that the inspector turned his back. If you recall, some a year ago or so, I'd made a request of them to provide the inspection reports where they've certified that the specs were right, and there were some 400 jobs that were never inspected properly.
And so Kobayashi at the last meeting talked about a big hole that was never filled with concrete, and it wouldn't get filled with one of those columns.
Well, that's but then that's the city hall. There's a big hole with.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if you. I'm going to stop with this last one, but because you brought this up months ago and you gave me documents on the stadium, if you read the latest front page column on renovating and/or building a new stadium, read the last paragraph on one of the inside pages: a public-private partnership with Hart.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Anyway, let me get through this. Hold on here. Brian Keshawada, he's the Facilities Environmental Health Officer, right?
Yeah.
University of Hawaii. Associate Vice President of Capital Improvements. He paid $3,000. But look at these. They're not just giving anybody this money and these golf tickets, right?
Of course not.
Here's a guy now. My question is, when did he do any work? Golf. Mitsunaga gave him one ticket. Mitsunaka on another occasion, this is Eric Nishimoto, so this is 4, 7, 11, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 21 times he got free tickets, and they got from Grace Pacific, right?
Now, you say...
Hold on.
Go ahead.
KSF, Design Partners, unnamed DAGS consultant, Okahara. Now, what this guy does, State Worker, Public Works Division, Project Management, Branch Chief. So... these guys that have the last say in everything, right, and say that you laid the cement, it's thick enough, it meets the specs, so there. But see, these inspections didn't occur. So here's another. Now, this is Alvin Takashita. he paid $5,000, right? And firm believed to have, see, this is what this ethics commission, the firm believed to have paid for golf. Now, look, if you're writing a formal document and you're hired by the people of the state, what the hell are you talking about, a firm believed to be, and you're then charging people based on what you believe? I believe in a lot of things, but I ain't getting any money for it.
They can do it.
But this is the ethics. Ameron, Hawaii, golf tournament four times for Takashita. SSFM, round of golf, two times. R.M. Towel, golf tournament, four times. Round of golf, one time. Hotel lodging relating to golf. Parson Brinkerhoff, golf tournament, two times. What is that? Did I strike a nerve with you on that one?
Strike a nerve? I'm drunk. I'm going to be evicted from my apartment. I'm screaming.
Don't.
Shut up, old man, they said.
Don't jump. But anyway.
I'm going to let you go because you're too much.
I'll get
too much, Dr. Cox.
I will. And the magic word of the day is sing cow.
Yippee!
Okay.
You won't ease the pain. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Okay, and speaking of the stadium, Sodexo, this is the ones that I wrote a complaint to the Ethics Commission. They're the security at Blaisdell for the city, and they gave Tamanaha golf tournament two times, round of golf one time, Central Construction golf tournament one time, Kihei Gardens and Landscaping Company, a round of golf two times. You're in the wrong business, man.
Yeah.
How's your swing? You've been working on it lately?
Man, I've been swinging up a storm out here, but ain't getting paid for it.
Yeah, but anyway, Engineer 1000 Department, they don't even put the guy's name. It's just Jadine Urosaki, she paid $1,500. And she got some fancy free gifts from Bowers and Kubota golf tournament, Parson and Brinkerhoff, Mitsunaga and Associates. So I wonder if these people are related to the rail. Firm, you know, anyway, I think I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But the commission believes that the information obtained from its investigation was sufficient to support formal ethics charges against the respondents of violations of the state ethics code. However, the commission emphasizes that it has not made any findings or conclusions that any of the respondents, in fact, violated the state ethics code. As previously explained, the commission renders findings and conclusions following an administrative hearing, which has not been held. In considering the totality of facts and circumstances, the commission believes that the resolution of each of the charges is reasonable, fair, and consistent with preserving the public's confidence in government employees. Yow. And I don't believe that's true.
Well.
But anyway, again, if you got all of this going on, this hoo-hoo going on, how can the native people benefit? How can you penetrate that wall? You ain't got no tickets to give them a golf. So I think you could get your country back, your kingdom back, if you all just put a few golf tickets and tournament tickets in your back pocket, and when you see the state workers,
wow,
in less than 2 weeks, you'll be a nation again.
Give them some free tickets. Yes,
apparently that's what drives. And then they get, apparently, why would anybody give this much? And these are key people that make the inspections and give reports and investigate, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyway.
Gotcha.
What do you got to say, Bobby Parks? Did I bore you?
No, I'm just listening to this heart. You know, I'm trying to figure out how can I get that free golf treatment.
Well, you know, where I'm from, you could go to the golf course. You'd be invited every day. You could be a caddy.
Oh, a caddy. Yeah, okay, yeah. I hear you.
Anyway, we're going to close the show, and thanks for joining. We'll see you next week, and we hope things get better before they get worse, and we'll try to make sure. But go out and get a copy of the Hawaii Fishing News. The article is posted and printed. And we'll talk a bit about it next week, and I'm going to be writing a couple more articles there and trying to expose some of this nonsense. So take care. See you next week.
Run,
to open arms. Imagine it's you I ran. Cause the memories are true. I read your mind on an old phone line. And you hide the love which holds the key. I've opened the book to your broken heart. I've read between the lines. That stormy night you hid your love, and oh, you unwind. A page is torn at the end. See, I wrote those lines. And no more wandering. No, not even Denise. See, I wrote the endless part of you. Yes, I wrote the endless part of you. Well, I wrote the endless part of you. I've thought of portrait lines with heart warming rhymes. Need me if you need to. See, I truly want you. It's all in the answers I see in your eyes. In every shade of your eyes, you turn me inside. I've on a former sail with heart warming rhymes. Need me if you need to. See, I truly want you. It's all in the answers I see in your eyes. In every shade of your eyes, you turn me inside.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080.